Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
Scientists have made it clear about climate change. Warming is unequivocal and very likely due to humanity's actions. But you wouldn't know that from the debate on Capitol Hill. Consider these comments from Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe and California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher.
Let me just once again state my belief that global warming is an alarmism and it's a type of a hoax.
Wake up, America. There's been any global warming for 10 years.
Well, now psychologists are turning their attention to the great divide between science and public opinion on climate change. Professor Robert Gifford at the University of Victoria in British Columbia led a task force studying global warming attitudes for the American Psychological Association. Gifford sees a telling parallel between those who doubt climate change and those who ignore health warnings about smoking.
Early on in the smoking campaign, it was learned that people reduce what we call cognitive dissonance in one of two possible ways. You're told that smoking is bad for you, but you're addicted to cigarettes. You have two choices. You can either stop smoking, which is very difficult, or you can change your mind about smoking, which is easier. So in terms of climate change, it's the same thing. You're told it's a problem. So either you can change your behavior, which because of all these different obstacles is difficult, or you can change your mind. So it's fairly easy to listen to the radio commentators who tell you it's not a problem. It's comforting because it's easier to change my mind about it and become a denier than it is to actually change.
And I guess it doesn't take that much injection of uncertainty or doubt around the issue to help you along that path.
That's right, because that's the easier path, right? Path of least resistance and all that.
The denial camp isn't really, I guess, your target so much as the folks who accept that climate change is real but have a hard time grasping why there should be a sense of urgency attached to it. Is that correct?
Exactly. Very roughly, if you look across different countries, including the U.S. and others, figure about 20% of the population is what you might call a denier or hard questioner. But the other 80% are people who say, yes, it's really a big problem, but the 80% are willing to change, but they don't know how, they don't know why, and they have other barriers such as the one that I call conflicting goals and aspirations, which is climate change is not the only goal that people have. They're also worried about their health, their children's safety, and some of these other goals trump climate change. And again, it's going to take some time to really hit home.
So your report lists several reasons that might explain why people would say, yeah, climate change is real, but I don't really need to do anything about it. What are they?
Well, there's at least a dozen reasons that I've identified. One is just a sense of uncertainty. There is unavoidably a little bit of uncertainty about just when and where and what is going to happen. Second, there's mistrust in some people of scientists and policymakers. Next, people sometimes think that what they do won't have much effect. Then there's something called optimism bias, and that is, as part of healthy functioning, we tend to be overly optimistic about a lot of things. We think that, you know, something like 85% of people think that they are more intelligent than average. A majority of people think they're better looking than average. It's psychologically healthy to be optimistic. But when you apply this to climate change, well, don't worry about it. Mother Nature will take care of it, et cetera. You can see where optimism can be a bias that doesn't work very well.
You also list just doing the same things we've always done.
You know, habit can be a good thing. William James, one of the fathers of modern psychology, called habit the flywheel of society. And what he meant by that was that if we didn't have a lot of habits, society would be chaotic and we wouldn't be able to really function as a society. But really, habit can also be a negative thing. If I drove to work yesterday, I'm quite likely to drive to work today. It's easier to do the same thing that we did yesterday as today, and maybe it's not the best thing for the climate.
You know, I get the sense from some scientists that there's some frustration here. They think, hey, we've laid out the facts, and these are the conclusions we came to. But is just laying out the facts necessarily going to lead someone else to the same kind of thinking?
Absolutely not. And this is one of the main roles I think that psychologists can play on both sides, helping the scientists to understand that lay people don't always understand or accept what they say instantly. And on the other side, helping lay people to understand how scientists work and how they think and what they're doing.
Well, let's say you're successful in getting a person to change behavior. At some point, that person might ask, well, what good does it do if it's just me changing my light bulbs? There has to be some connection to a broader something going on, right?
Yeah, when people feel that they're part of a positive movement, they're happy to join in. So you get a kind of tipping point effect at some point. It's what everybody is doing, and people reward each other in subtle ways for sharing that goal.
By the way, do you know how many psychologists it takes to change a light bulb, don't you?
I think I've heard this one.
Just one, but the light bulb has to want to change.
Yeah.
Robert Gifford is a professor of psychology at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. I enjoyed talking.
Just ahead, greening the economic recovery, one town at a time. Stay with us on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.